We're going to introduce in a few minutes those who have come forward. But I wanted to spend a few minutes here at the end of our time together addressing the Supreme Court decision that was handed down 9 days ago. And I wrote it down. I'm going to read it to be sure I don't put my foot in my mouth. I wrote it down because I want to say it a certain way. Now, I know that it has caused an uproar in a lot of Christian circles. Many Christians are responding with deep disappointment, consternation, and even anger. And I can certainly understand those feelings. I, for one, will be reflecting deeply on this decision for a long time and will possibly be dealing with its ramifications in the months and years to come. But for now, I want to say just a few things to you as your pastor. First, I want to say that if you are angry about this decision, I understand. That is a natural reaction. I would encourage you, don't stay angry. And don't, in your anger, lash out at those who disagree with you. I will always fight for your right to stand up for what you believe in without fear of recrimination, discrimination, or persecution. Always. And it's okay to be angry. It's just not okay to stay angry. Jesus got angry, but the scriptures also say, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Number two, the decision of the Supreme Court in no way impacts our beliefs concerning same-sex marriage. It has in no way changed my beliefs, and I'm sure it has not changed yours. Those Christians who were for it before the decision are still for it. Those Christians who were against it before the decision are still against it. In matters of faith and what we believe to be true, the Supreme Court has zero impact, nor should it. Number three, the decision of the Supreme Court as it stands right now has virtually no impact on matters of faith practice for the church. For the church. It does not infringe on our religious liberty. In fact, the majority decision goes out of its way to assure us of that. I know that there are alarmists who are saying that it will. I disagree with them. As it stands now, the freedom we have to practice our faith and good conscience is not being violated. No one is forcing us to do anything we don't want to do, nor will they, based on this decision. The First Amendment still stands. Number four, in our church, we have a legacy of living and working together for the cause of Christ, even when we don't agree on everything. There are wonderful Christians in our church who are on all sides of this issue. Let me say that again. There are wonderful Christians, loving Christians in our church who are on all sides of this issue. Now, I have been preaching for 25 years. I know I don't look that old, do I? 25 years, more than 1,400 sermons. I went back and counted them. And I have always preached that the institution of marriage was originally created by God for the propagation of the human race. It was God who brought together the man and the woman and created marriage so that they could obey his command to be fruitful and multiply. Marriage was created for the man and the woman to bring glory to God in the propagation of his creation. Now, marriage in our culture has become all kinds of different things, to be sure. But that was its original intent, and I don't see any reason to stop preaching that. You may disagree with me on that, and that's okay. We can still love each other, work together, and worship side by side. That's the kind of church we have always had. And number five, as your spiritual leader, it is my job to remind us as a church, as a force for Jesus Christ, to keep our eyes on the ball. I love football. I grew up in Texas, so there you go. I wanted to play football my whole life and did all the way through high school. I wasn't very good at it, but I loved playing football. I was a wide receiver, and I learned that the key to catching the ball is to keep your eye on the ball. This issue that we're talking about, same-sex marriage, this issue is not central to the mission of the church. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with leading people to Jesus. It has nothing to do with serving Jesus. And part of my work as your pastor is to keep us all on the playing field, focused on the game, the ball. And the game, my friends, the game that's being played on the actual field is leading people to Jesus, helping them to heal from their pain and their trials, their addictions and their afflictions. The game is going out into our community with the gospel message that God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. And to bring that message that God loved the world, to bring it to them with our own lives, with our own actions, by loving the world the way God loved the world, sacrificially, that's the game being played on the field. That's the game on the field. This argument over the definition of marriage is not the game. It's the fight under the bleachers. And the temptation is, and it's a great temptation, and Satan would love nothing more than this. The temptation is for us who are on the field playing the game to leave the field and to go to the fight under the bleachers. Let's not do that. I'm tired of letting the world out there decide what we're gonna fight over. Don't do that. Let's keep our head in the game. Let's keep our eyes on the ball. We have too much to do in this church. God has too many great and awesome plans for our future. We cannot allow tertiary issues to divide and conquer us. I will continue to preach the truth of Scripture the best I can. I promise you that. And I will also continue to love, support, and respect anyone who might disagree with me. I made two promises to you when I became your spiritual leader. Do you remember them? The first was that I would preach the word of God to the very best of my ability. And the second is that I would love you unconditionally, that I would love you unconditionally. And that has not changed. I will still preach the Bible the best I can. And I will love you no matter what. Even if you agree with me, disagree with me, I will still love you. Jesus said, "By this they will know that you are one of my disciples, by the way you love each other." Let's show the world how we love each other. Amen? And just one last note, just as kind of almost a coda in music. Isn't that what it's called? Coda? Thank you. Okay. One last thing. That was the main thing I wanted to say as your pastor. But let me just say this so that you'll know this, and I think maybe this might put some of you at ease. Any official biblical theological stance that we might take as a church on it, this issue or any issue, will not come from me. Any official biblical theological stance that we might have to take as a church, and we might be forced to do that, I'm afraid, but any official biblical theological stance that we might have to take as a church will come only after a careful, thoughtful, and comprehensive study and discussion by the deacon body of our church. They are our elected, ordained spiritual leaders. The deacons would meet and study. And then if needed, they would then bring the fruit of their study to the church as a recommendation, and then the church would decide if there's a need to take an official stance. Does that make sense? Okay. I love you. I'm so proud to be your pastor. And I'm proud of a church that keeps its eye on the ball. So great, on to...